From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made at a folk music festival in front of a campfire. A woman is listening to a man sing a song called Don't Laugh at Me. It's a tune about children who are bullied, and the people listening around the fire are brought to tears. The next day, the woman takes her father by the hand and brings him to hear the song. He's moved by it and becomes inspired to act. He records his own version, and he helps to found an organization dedicated to anti-bullying initiatives. The man is Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and his daughter Bethany was the catalyst for all of this. Growing up in a family of activists with a love of folk music, she often speaks about the power music has in inspiring people and energizing people and acting as a force for change. She's a member of the duo Bethany and Rufus with her partner cellist Rufus Cappadocia. If you remember, he was a guest on this program a few months ago. And Donald Elfman from All About Jazz wrote about Bethany, quote, "Her voice is rich, dark, and true, and it cuts right through to express all that the music needs. She has the rhythmic sensibility and depth of feeling to call forth the jazz and blues tradition and the breadth of textures to take a listener around the world. Yarrow's voice is stark and powerful, feeling both informed by years of tradition and yet brand new." We'll be able to hear her this hour. I'm hoping she'll sing for us. And she's in the area with Rufus for a performance tomorrow in the Finger Lakes. But she was kind enough to stop in here first. Bethany Yarrow, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And also in studio is Suzanne Hunt, president of Hunt Green and a member of the Hunt family at Hunt Country Vineyards. And she's here to help us talk about the event that Bethany is performing at tomorrow. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Megan.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks.
So let's kick things right off with the event, because I know there are tickets still available. The last time Rufus was on the show, there were still tickets available. By the end of the hour, they were gone. So here's your chance, listeners, to get on the bandwagon. Suzanne, tell us a little bit about what's coming up tomorrow.
So Bethany and Rufus are going to give a concert. The doors open at 7:30. It's at the winery. The concert's going to start at 8. Tickets are $20 each. We're in Branchport, New York, near Cuca Lake.
I love what you've written on your website about the show. You said, watching Bethany and Rufus together in concert is like watching two spirits weave a river of song, prayer, and dance of improvised melodies. That sounds so fun. Bethany, what is it like to perform, especially at a place like Hunt Country Vineyards, when you're surrounded by this beautiful, beautiful place, nature? I know you've been, have you been up here before?
I've been up here before. I actually have done a concert at Suzanne's, which was really beautiful. That was really to help with the legal fund of some of the wineries who were fighting the Seneca Lake storage facility. I was actually with Sandra Steingraber and with Josh Fox and Rufus, and we were all arrested in front of the Seneca Lake storage facility, post-storage facility. So, you know, that was a great victory, and so it's really wonderful to be up here to celebrate, kind of won the battle, not completely won the war on that one. So I have a long history of, right now a lot of the music that we sing is, there's a lot of activating music. And I don't know that it's necessarily activist music in the way that people understand that. But there's a lot of deep spirituals and calling on the different forces to raise people's spirits and to help us all in this time. So it's been, I have a beautiful and long connection with this area, and I really am so moved not only by the land, but the people and all the work that people are doing to defend the land and to come up with solutions and the way the communities are coming together.
Mm-hmm. And all of this is so deep in your roots, growing up in your family.
Yeah.
I just want to start with, tell us about your story. What was it like to grow up surrounded by folk music and activism, and how did that shape your childhood?
Well, this has been kind of my mother's milk, has been music and activism and a deep belief in the power of people and ordinary people to come together and change the world, change the course of history. So I grew up going to marches. I grew up when by the time I was born in the 70s, Peter, Paul, and Mary had already split up and were doing, individual paths. But I grew up with Peter, Paul, and Mary as music. And then in the 78, they got back together for their reunion concert and actually for an event called Survival Sunday, which was to stop at the Diablo Canyon in California. So, and I remember, you know, I would go to marches, like 3 and 4 marches and rallies a day. And I remember, you know, the first time around when the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, was up for passage and we were trying to pass that. And my parents sitting me down and having to explain to me, you know, that people didn't think that women were as good as men, so they weren't being paid the same as men, and they didn't have the same rights. And so as a little girl, it was, huge news to me that women weren't just as good as men and all these, you know. So, and I remember when I was 6, I think I had $100 saved up in my bank account. That was all my money. And we were at this event for the ERA, and it was hosted by Carol Burnett, and they were trying to raise, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I think they were at like $25,000. They were asking for donations. And, you know, I asked my parents, and my mom put her hand up and she said, well, I'm not going to donate $25,000, but my daughter actually has decided that she wants to give all her money to the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. So I was like the 6-year-old there, and you know, so they got it, really inspired everyone to give what they could. And so I've really grown up with not everyone is able to give the same, but you really need to give of yourself, not just financially, but whatever you have to give, and everyone has a role to play. And I think that it's really important now, that more than ever, that people really do some deep thinking about what they can do in this time. So that's kind of my background. And it's, I still perform with my dad, and I still get to do really extraordinary events with him, whether it's singing with my dad and Noel at the National Cathedral for Nelson Mandela's memorial, which was an extraordinary just evening, afternoon of remembrance and celebration, or for Ruby Dee, you know, another memorial service. There's definitely right now a passing of the torch, both politically in the activist circles, also musically, and there's another generation right now that's stepping up in amazing ways that I think is giving people extraordinary hope, this sense of like seventh generation rising. And I think we also saw that at Standing Rock, you know, and it's the passing of knowledge from the elders, still led by the elders, but to this next generation of people who are carrying things forward in a new way and a different way that I think will take us into the future.
I'm thinking back to you being 6 at that event, and you have this incredible education at such a young age that you've carried through throughout your whole life. I don't know if most kids back, you know, during that time got that. I don't know if they do now, but are you seeing any examples of really bringing younger people into the fold at a young age so that when they do have resources and they do have means growing up, they're more likely to act?
There's, gosh, all kinds of things right now.
The Earth Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's the Earth Guardians, and there's the kids who are bringing the federal government. There are 21 kids who are suing the federal government. I think it's called the Children's Trust. And because they've put the future generations and the earth in real jeopardy, and it's enshrined in the Constitution that they're actually, we need to protect the land for future generations. So they're suing the federal government for violating that, and they actually won in the Oregon Supreme Court or Washington Supreme Court. I mean, it's going through the courts, and Trump and the administration is trying to stop them because they actually have a very, very strong case. So Shutescott Martinez and his little brother, Isquatli, they're from Boulder, Colorado area, and they have a group called the Earth Guardians that are really teaching and training young people and quite young people to be activists and to be leaders. And I think that the youth voice right now is gaining momentum more than it diminishing. I mean, it's funny because, you know, I'm doing this concert, so my life very much is a musician and a singer, and I really use songs to tell these stories, but my formation has really been as kind of an activist, and so I can talk and talk and talk about, you know, all of these things. You know, I've always been active. I reactivated in a different way when my daughter was five, and fracking, we were in the middle of the fracking fight in New York State, and I was trying to explain to her a little bit, you know, what I was doing. And in our backyard, we spend most of our time in upstate New York in the Western Catskills in a small town called West Fulton, which is near Cobleskill, which is like an hour west of Albany, between Albany and Oneonta. And so in our backyard is this magical 100-foot waterfall that's this amazing force, this power. And so she's always had a very strong connection with the water. And the way that I've always been taught by my elders is that everything has a spirit, that the water has a spirit, and the wind has a spirit, and the rocks and the trees, everything is alive and has a spirit, and they're really watching us and waiting for us to call on them, and we really need allies and divine intervention as much as we need human power to get through this. So her connection with the spirit of the water is so strong, and it was so when I told her about some of what was happening, she just started sobbing, and I needed to put her in the bathtub and like calm her down, and she immediately wanted to write a letter to, she said, President Cuomo, you know. And I said, well, sweetie, he's the governor, he wants to be president one day, but he's the governor. So we sat down and we wrote a letter, and it said, you know, please don't frack the water, don't let this happen, and the water tells me that she doesn't want to be fracked and she doesn't want to be poisoned. And it was so, I could just see the conflict inside of her. And so I took her and her whole preschool class down, and we went kind of marching in front of Governor Cuomo's office to ask that he ban fracking. And so, you know, he's been a real leader in the way that he's the only governor to really stand up to the fossil fuel industry, but we need him to do more. And so we're all pushing in all the ways we can, whether it's through music or art or, you know, the wineries and community organizing. And I think at this time, New York has such an opportunity to be a world leader in what the future could look like if we actually come together to do this.
Are you optimistic about the governor's clean energy standard? That would require 50% of New York's electricity to come from renewable sources by 2050. She's pointing to Suzanne. So she's.
I mean, I have an expert next to me. I'll sing you songs for all the nature spirits, but I think that the expert in this should talk about that.
I thought I was just the driver today, but yeah, you know, it's a really good first step, you know, if the governor is no longer our governor in a few years, it doesn't have the staying power of, say, you know, an actual energy policy or climate policy. So the next step that we really need to take is a statewide energy policy and renewable energy targets that have more teeth to them.
Let's jump into the Paris Agreement now that we're talking about climate. Bethany, what was your first reaction when you heard the news that President Trump was pulling us out of the Paris Agreement?
Well, he has said all along that he's going to, and he did. And, you know, I didn't have any other reaction other than when Trump was elected. And it, you know, dismay, disappointment, sadness, you know it's coming, but when it finally happens, it's like, ugh, the wind goes out of you. But I think what is happening right now is that people are realizing they can't rely on their governments. We really need to do this ourselves. And I think the exciting news out of this is that all of these mayors and states and people who are saying, no, Paris is still in effect, and actually we're going to see you and raise you one. You know, we actually can do this, but our governments are not going to do this, and especially a Trump-led government. It's just not going to do this. So, you know, it's interesting. We're in a room full of women right now, and Suzanne is one of the leaders here in New York. And, you know, I know you were just talking about Wonder Woman, and there are really a lot of Wonder Women around right now. And I do a lot of work with different indigenous communities and leaders and leadership. And the call is kind of the same there. It's time for the women to step up. And I've been down working with the Ramapo Lenape at the Split Rock Sweetwater Camp down in Mahwah, New Jersey, where they're fighting four different pipelines through there. One of them is the Algonquin Pipeline, the Pilgrim Pipeline. The Algonquin Pipeline went into effect and it got turned on and is within 100 feet of the Indian Point nuclear facility. You know, so people are looking at very real threats. There are these prayer camps that have started. A lot of them are led by women. You know, the Sacred Stone prayer camp over at Standing Rock, or the KXL pipeline prayer camp, Can a Teepee Stop a Pipeline? And where, when these women gather together and when they step up and when they put down their prayers together, no matter how they pray, you know, there are many, many ways that people kind of make a spiritual commitment. They put their staff in the ground, so to speak, and they really make that decision to step up. And they become Wonder Women. You know, they really, that part of them becomes activated and active, and they stand together with their compassion and with their humility and...
with their strength.
And with their strength. And everything can change. And they pass that on to their daughters. And they pass that on to their children. So this radical empowerment of women right now, and whether that's the Women's March, you know, which was the hope is a harbinger of things to come, of these movements. So that's kind of what gives me faith. And also, actually, right now, a lot of the faith movements right now. I mean, I've been really thinking deeply and living inside of this for a long time. And I know that a lot of the movements on the left, and for very good reasons, and separation of church and state and what's been done in the name of religion and all of these issues. But it's they haven't enlisted the churches and the faith movements. They're not seen as kind of folded into the left, or the progressive movements. And so the fact of this, that it's coming around, the encyclical that the Pope, you know, came out with, and also, but even the evangelical movements and the realization of that climate change affects all of us, and it doesn't care whether you're Democrat, it doesn't care if you're Republican, if you're rich or you're poor, you're evangelical, Protestant, Catholic, it's like a great leveler right now. And I think the challenge right now and the call is really for unity and for people to come together. And in Suzanne and I have been working for many years now. This is the fourth year of a concert called the Unity Concert, which is in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And it started out as kind of like the grounding prayer of the climate movement, and it was right before the People's Climate March. It was in September of 2014. So the, and kind of out of that, and not because of that, but the consciousness that even began that unity prayer, the Black Hills are considered the heart of everything that is, in Turtle Island, or North America, as it's called. And so the recognition that these sacred sites need to be returned to their guardians, that the Black Hills need to be returned to the great Sioux Nation, to the Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota people, so that ceremonies can be carried out, so that these spirits can be activated, so that we can stand in prayer and have these prayer camps like Standing Rock, like the Split Rock Sweetwater Prayer Camp. You know, this prayer for people to come together is something that is, I think, gathering more and more power and strength and urgency. And it's becoming clearer. I know, you know, you mentioned my dad's program of Operation Respect in the schools, which was really it's an anti-bullying program to teach compassion to kids, to teach empathy to children, because what has been missing, if you look at television, if you look at what is in our culture, is empathy, compassion, respect. And it was carried to the nth degree in our presidential elections. No matter where you fall on the Trump, Clinton, it just the disrespect inside of it, and the disrespect inside of our cultural dialogue and how we live right now mirrors our disrespect for the earth, our disrespect for human life, our disrespect for the water, for the things that give us life, for our future generations. It's like we have these diseased minds, and people who are otherwise very, I guess, good people are literally ensuring the destruction and the murder of their grandchildren. And my mind can't bring those two things together, and how people can be so blind and so heartless, even towards their own children, or be in such a state of denial or disconnection from themselves and from the earth that gives them life. So it's a long journey that we have in front of us, but that's the time we live in.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we leave the fluff stuff on the side and get to something serious?
You're hearing from Bethany Yarrow, a singer and activist who will be performing tomorrow at Hunt Country Vineyards in the Finger Lakes. Also in studio is Suzanne Hunt from the Vineyard. Suzanne, remind us of where you can get tickets and when the show is. Still tickets available.
Yes, still tickets available. You can go to huntwines.com and just click on the events page, and you can click on the Bethany and Rufus concert link. You can also call the winery, 1-800-WINEBY, B-U-Y, and get tickets that way too.
Mm-hmm. So that's coming up tomorrow. Bethany will be performing with Rufus Cappadocia. We'll link the podcast of his time on the show to this podcast in case you'd like to hear them both. And we'll take our short break coming up next. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about some of your music. I know we have some queued up, so we can listen to that and some of the meaning behind it. And listeners, you can join this conversation by calling 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can also connect with us via email. It's connections@WXXI.org. And I'm also on Twitter at @MMacMedia. More with Bethany Yarrow and Suzanne Hunt next. I'm Megan Mack. Monday on The Next Connections, we kick off the week with Monroe County Sheriff Patrick O'Flynn. O'Flynn is running for re-election, seeking a fifth term in office, and he's facing former Grace Police Chief and VOC Executive Director Todd Baxter. We'll talk to O'Flynn about his priorities for the county. Then in our second hour, the Performing Arts Center project at Parcel 5 is not a done deal. We'll talk about grassroots efforts for transforming that site.
Stand,
You're listening to a song called Lift Us Up. There's a little dancing going on in the studio right now. You're hearing from Bethany Yarrow.
Strong.
Bethany, tell us a little bit about this song.
Well, this song actually is a song that my dad wrote when he was at the waterfall house, in this magic house with a 100-foot waterfall. And it's a song he really wrote for the election cycle, where he was really thinking about, you know, what we really need an anthem of lifting up our spirits and coming together, and make us strong and give us courage to right the wrongs, you know, make our stand and let love triumph. Love does trump hate. And it is the path. And that is the message of Wonder Woman, too, that if you are given a choice in the darkest of times, no matter what happens, you have to stand on the side of life and you have to stand on the side of love. And if you don't, then there is just an abyss of destruction before you. And why bother then? Then there is no hope. That is the only road of hope. So this song kind of spoke directly to that. And we had just come from the Unity concert, and then we went to Standing Rock right after that. And that was in September. And then Rufus and I went back there in December as well. Or actually, I went back there in December. And I think Standing Rock broke things open for people. And the legacy of Standing Rock continues. You know, they just won in the courts a major victory, saying that actually, you know, they illegally pushed this through, the pipeline through. So, and the instruction from the people leading Standing Rock was to take that fire home, that sacred fire, and bring it home to your communities and light that fire at home and bring that struggle home and that prayer home. That image of the indigenous First Nations of this land, the first people of this land, going back to their original ways of prayer in front of these phalanxes of private security. And now we know about, you know, Tiger Swan and the targeting and the, you know, psyops kind of trying to break the movement, and really looking at this movement of prayer and peace somehow is now looked at as a terrorist insurgency. You know, that's how they were being viewed, and how to break the terrorist insurgency. And so the reality that people who are standing with their deepest original prayers for the land and the water and their children, and saying from everything they know, from their ancestors, from, you know, current science, from everything, from the spiritual to the scientific, says this is wrong, this is death, this is the path of death and destruction, and that they're the ones being seen as the terrorists and the insurgents, is just, we're really truly in an upside down world. Mm-hmm. And I think that that reality was so stark for people that they that it opened a gate for them and a realization that this is just wrong. So how do we stand up with prayer, with music, with love, with everything that is good about our humanity? How do we stand up with our unity and our goodness, with our flawed human nature? Again, we're back to Wonder Woman, right? I mean,
there are
human
so many parallels.
Beings are really flawed creatures. But we strive, and there's beauty, and there's hope, and there's all of that inside of it. So to stand on the side of that. So that's what that song was about. And when we went to make a video for it, we were part of Laura Flanders' show. We were down, actually, on the banks of the river the first time we went. And there's a song, I can sing a little bit of it.
I hope you do. Rufus told me a few days ago, ask her to sing a Native American prayer song.
So. I can sing that. I basically sing a lot of prayer songs right now. I sing songs given to me and told, you know, the Native American prayer song, a man by the name of Aloysius Weasel Bear. He's a Lakota from Pine Ridge. He's passed on, but he said, please go sing these songs, Bethany. The world needs them now. And, you know, traditionally you don't necessarily sing them out in public, but right now the rules are changing and people need, in many places as possible, go sing them.
Why is that, that they're not sung in public?
They're just ceremonial songs, some of them. So some songs have certain rules, like there's a song I'll sing that you can't sing if there's alcohol present, just in terms of respecting. So I can't, like, I can't sing it at the winery, so I can only really sing it in
You can sing it here.
Plays I can sing it. So I'll sing that song, and it's a song for the water, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the scene of Standing Rock and the video that was done for that song and kind of where that came from. But I would say, you know, a lot of the origins of the songs that I sing and the songs that my dad sings are these spirituals from the Americas and from America. And a lot of what Peter, Paul, and Mary sang are, you know, have deep spiritual roots, whether it's from the Reverend Gary Davis and If I Had My Way, which is Rufus and I do, you know, Motherless Child or something. They're these beautiful spirituals. So this song, you know, going on that river of song, you know, that we weave is, there's a Native American prayer song that Aloysius taught me that is a song for the water, and you sing it in the morning time, and it's like a light mist of rain comes down, and so it's a gratitude song. So I'll sing it, and I sang it also, I think, at Seneca Lake. So I'll sing it now, and just kind of remember all of our Native relatives and the struggles that they're facing now. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, Ayawane, you wanna you we now, hey, nay. Send your showers of blessings, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Upon our water, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, Ayawane, you wanna you we now, hey, nay, you want. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, Ayawane, you wanna you we now, hey, nay, you want. Send your showers of blessings, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Upon our water, you wanna know we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, Ayawane, you wanna you we now, hey, nay, you want. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, hey, you wanna we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, Ayawane, you wanna you we now, hey, nay, you want. Send your showers of blessings, you wanna we now, hey, nay. Upon our water protectors, you wanna we now, hey, nay. Ayana, Ayana, Ayawane, you wanna you we now.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Suzanne, have you heard many of these songs before?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Bethany's where she brings the music and the kind of inspiration, and then I sit and try and figure out the strategy and the nuts and bolts. And so we've been partners in crime on a lot of different things.
How does the music, I'm just watching you, listeners, I wish you could see. She's so invested and the music is overtaking her. What does it feel like to sing some of these songs, just knowing what the stories are and knowing where they came from?
Well, you know, I think you feel some of my intensity for the first half of the show. I'm a very intense person. I mean, I kind of very much feel and see this and live this. I mean, we're at the point where our earth is. I'm not like a fluff kind of person. So not that I wouldn't like to be, because it's nice to turn off sometimes and just enjoy. But the reality is always present. So, you know, when I sing these songs, I'm thinking about Aloysius. I'm thinking about the mandate and his spirit to sing these songs. I'm thinking about the water protectors, some of the water protectors that I know personally who are facing jail time and very serious charges, who've really given up their lives. I'm thinking about, you know, Clara Soaringhawk of the Deer Clan, chief of the Ramapo Lenape, who's stepping into her power now for the first time. And Chief Dwayne Perry down there, and who are really holding that. I was thinking about my sister Pua Case, who's in Mauna Kea, which is a mountain in Hawaii, where they just had World Peace and Prayer Day, and Chief Orville Looking Horse was there. And, you know, I'm thinking about all of the ones who are standing up right now, and who, this is a very hard road and a hard time. And they're beautiful human beings who really only want the very best for human beings and for the earth, and who have really put their lives on the line time and time and time again. So I'm making a prayer for all of them, and it's very present for me. So these aren't just songs, you know, like my dad mm-hmm. said in the civil rights movement, these weren't just songs. We didn't sing We Shall Overcome because it was like a snappy song. You know, we sang it because we were facing attack dogs and water hoses. And this was our prayer. And it was a way to root ourselves down in his voice now. But now, again, people are facing water cannons and attack dogs. And these songs and these prayers are very deep calls, both to our inner spirit to fortify and strengthen us, but as I said, also to the spirits, you know. And when we were down at Standing Rock, I stood on the banks of the Missouri River, and there was a moon overhead, and there's a spirit that I sing to, and her name is Yemanja. And in Brazil, she's known as Yemanja. In Cuba, it's Yemaya. In Haiti, it's La Sirene. She has very many different names, also known as the Virgin Mother. You know, that kind of beautiful, giving energy of motherly love, of the water, of the salty water that constitutes our body. And in the pictures of her, she has, you know, pearls falling from her hands and a crescent moon over her. I think everyone has these archetypal images. She's the mermaid. And so in a lot of this struggle, when things get really hard, I'll go to the river and I'll call on that spirit. And so, and especially the female spirits, right? So the footage in this Laura Flanagan show on Standing Rock, there's footage of us and music singing for Yemanja there and calling on that female energy and the warriorness of standing up in that too, because our warrior selves are being called on. And I'll just sing like snippets of these songs so you know. But that one is, it's a loud call, so I'll do it softer for the radio, but it's, Yemanja, Yemanja, ay, das ondas se adoma, ay, das ondas se adoma, y que ouvir o canto Yemanja. Faça até o pescador chorar. E quem ouvir o canto da mãe d'água chama, e vai com ela pro fundo do mar. Rainha das ondas, sereia do mar. Rainha das ondas, sereia do mar.
Wow.
So that one says, Yemanja, Yemanja. She's the queen of the waves. She's the mermaid of the sea. Whoever hears the song of Yemanja, the one that makes the fishermen cry, whoever hears the song of the mother of waters calling will go with her to the depths of the sea. She's the queen of the waves. She's the mermaid of the sea. I think anyone who sat on a seashore or sat on the banks of the lakes here, there's something larger, beauty that moves you to tears sometimes. And, you know, it's like that beauty that you want to share with a friend. You know, I have a friend who talks about that, Lila June. She talks about the meaning of hojon. And hojon is the beauty in the Diné Navajo language. They talk about what is hojon. And it's, you know, the beauty of the sunset, the beauty of the indescribable beauty that you have to share, you know, that is part of your humanity, that is sadness. So calling on those spirits, that's actually an energy, and it goes by many different names. There's a one that I'm calling because our warrior selves are being called on right now so intensely. So one of the warriors is a warrior by the name of Shango, and he actually carries the hammer of justice. So for the Peter, Paul, and Mary folks, you know, out there, if I had a hammer, Pete Seeger, you know, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. There is actually a spirit that carries a big hammer of justice, and it's divine justice. These are actual archetypes. These are all archetypal energies that we call on. So when we're calling on that hammer of justice, we're actually calling on the spirit of Shango. And Shango is also known as Saint John, you know, in Brazil, you know, that energy. Or in Cuba, Shango is known as Saint Barbara, you know. So there are all of these different mapping of energies, and he is the voice of thunder, and he carries his stone hammer of justice. And I think about him, you know, when they're up in the mountains, you know, he's usually thought of as up on the mountaintop. But there's a song that says, and again, I can sing a little bit, but it says, they say that Shango lives in the rock. He's known as the spirit of the rock, but that's not his true abode. He actually lives in the waterfall, and that's his city of light. It's where Iansa lives, who's the spirit of the wind, the warrior spirit, and Oshumare, who is the rainbow serpent of healing, and Jesus, where they live there too. So again, it's this coming together in this line of divine justice. And I'll sing it just so, you know, it says, Jiseke Shango, mora na pedreira, mas não é lá sua morada verdadeira. Disse que Xangô mora na pedreira, mas não é lá sua morada verdadeira. Ele mora na cachoeira, sua cidade de luz, onde mora Iansá, Oxumaré e Jesus. Ele mora na cachoeira, sua cidade de luz, onde mora Iansá, Oxumaré e Jesus. Xangô caô, Xangô no reino, é o meu senhor. O Xangô caô, Xangô no reino, é o meu senhor. So that's calling on Shango and our warrior selves. You know, there's other ones calling on Jurema, who's the spirit of the forest and the leaves and all of the healing of the leaves. So, you know, I'm putting my energies right now and my song and my spirit into calling on the goodness of things, calling on the goodness of this world, calling on the goodness of human beings, of my friends, of my allies, of these wonder women all around me. And I get so much hope from working with them, organizing with them, getting arrested with them, singing songs, joining hands, you know, lifting our voices. So part of this series and this concert and this music, and with Rufus too, and I'm sorry he's not here because, you know, one voice alone is one thing, but when you're joined by, you know, the celestial voices of the strings of the, you know, the Rufus's cello. It's really...
We can listen to, we have two more clips. Is there one that you think would be a good, we have 900 Miles and we have Trouble in the Land. We can play either one of those and talk about how you collaborate when you, when you're working together with music.
Sure. I mean, East Virginia, I think, which is the first track, I that's like an old favorite off of 900 miles. I really like the music that we do together. The new album, that's, it's like a pre-release copy, it hasn't come out yet, so you're getting sneak peeks.
We're special, yes.
That we've actually taken the folk music and the, you know, back into its roots, and so it's kind of traveled back, and we've we're collaborating with Jacobo Mumuni, who's really one of the foremost voices of Africa. He's from Niger and kind of the heir to Ali Faku Touré. And so we did an extraordinary record with him, and where we kind of weave back and forth between the different languages and dialects and the, you know, American folk music and the blues of America actually comes from the wind in the desert. It's the sound, the blues scale, according to Yakuba, and what we know as the pentatonic blues scale, actually comes from the wind in the desert region of Niger, where he comes from. That's the sound that the wind makes. So those are our roots. And so my folk music goes kind of back into America through its roots and then back over the ocean where our musics came. And again, it's this unity prayer of this long braid of song coming together, and now we're kind of back where we started. And a lot of these songs for the spirits also originate in Africa, kind of in Nigeria and Yoruba, and we also worked with Bonga Jean-Baptiste, who's Haitian, and when the Orisha religions and traditions landed there, it became a whole Haitian culture of voodoo, and the beautiful culture and very misunderstood culture of voodoo, where it's not, voodoo is not about dolls and black magic. It's really about singing and dancing and celebrating the spirits of nature, that's La Sirène, Yemanja, Shango, you know, the spirits that are inside of all of us that we call by different, all of us call them by different names. So now the question is, how do we bring them all together?
I think what we should do is choose one of your songs to take us out of the hour, since we're down to our last couple minutes. And also, listeners, you're getting a great preview of what you may hear tomorrow and also in August, because you're back in August, correct, with Rufus collaborating with a Haitian group. I think he told me on the phone. Yes. Okay. When is that, in August?
August 11th.
Okay. So if you miss tomorrow, August 11th is another chance for you to catch Bethany Yarrow and Rufus Cappadocia. So let's...
Oh, you can also play Trouble in the Land, which features Chuck Campbell, who's
okay,
from Rochester.
Let's do that, John. We'll end the hour with Trouble in the Land. Right at the end of the hour, where the usual music goes to kick us out. Suzanne, remind our listeners where they can get tickets again in case they're inspired to come see Bethany in person.
At huntwines.com on the events page, or you can call 1-800-WINE-BY, B-U-Y. And yeah, tickets are at $20, and we'll have cheese plates and wine for sale and tea lights, and it's in the ceiling in the tasting room is made out of wood, so the acoustics are accidentally perfect.
Tell us a little bit about this song, Bethany, as we start to hear it play us out.
Trouble in the Land is an old folk song that I actually heard on some of the old Gospel at Newport albums that my dad gave me to listen through. And I wrote some new lyrics for it, but it's definitely a song, a good folk song gathers more and more meaning and validity as it goes through the ages. It's not an anachronism at this point. It's more valid and important than ever. So it's a song that features Jacobo Mumuni, not on vocals, but elsewhere on the album, he's singing, oh my God, what a singer he is. And also Chuck Campbell on the pedal steel, and he's from the Campbell Brothers from Rochester. And Bonga Jean-Baptiste and Rufus Cappadocia and myself. And it says, you know, all of these things will pass away if we only get down on our knees and pray. So it's definitely a song for the praying activists, and the activists that pray together, stay together, and get arrested together, and lift their voices and sing together. We will survive this and many others, and we will. We are looking forward to seeing you at Hunt Country Vineyards to sing with you.
Thank you for singing for us today here on the program. Bethany Yarrow, singer and activist, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your day with us. And Suzanne Hunt, president of Hunt Green, and member of the Hunt family at Hunt Country Vineyards, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Listeners, I'll let you end your Friday with this beautiful music. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson. John Andrus is our engineer. We'll be back with you Monday, and thank you for listening to member-supported public radio. And nowhere to find your peace or rest, and all of these things will